her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing.
First weekend without the NFL, and it does feel like the other sports leagues were very interested in filling that gap, filling the void. The NBA All-Star Weekend, obviously scheduled forever, got a little criticism. Draymond Green going as far as to say that it was a zero on a scale of 1 to 10, and it sucked.
That was before the games were even played.
He was just talking about the format of the games.
He's got no one to blame but himself, but I digress.
I watched a little bit of the skills competition and the dunk contest and the three-point contest, and then I watched a little bit of the All-Star Games last night. First of all, the floor was very distracting for me. It took me a while to be like, hold on. I had to, like, recalibrate my eyes to, like, I did not like it. But on the other side, guys, the NHL also had this four nations face-off, which was four nations, combined, you know, a team of players from each of the nations, and then playing in this tournament-style thing. I think there's games today, actually.
Yeah, still going on.
As it continues. And that got a ton of positive reaction, positive publicity. Gabe, what was the difference?
Oh, I mean, it's the same thing for any of these things. Like, we somehow decided it's an existential crisis for every sport anytime we reach All-Star time. Oh, we reached the Pro Bowl. Oh, what do we got to do to fix the Pro Bowl? Oh, what are we going to do to fix the NBA All-Star game? What are we going to do to fix Major League Baseball's All-Star game? And hockey's been the same. They've been searching, and they've had tournaments, and they've done three-on-three tournaments, and they've done all these different things. The players bought into this. It's important to the players. Playing for their country, especially in hockey, has been such a time-honored thing that guys love the opportunity when they get that chance to. So the NHL decided, hey, we're going to take a week and a half in the middle of our season, and we're going to play a round-robin tournament and have a final at the end with these four nations. And all these players have bought in because they think they're playing for something. They feel they're playing for something bigger than just the game. They're now playing for their country. And it was one of the best ideas the NHL has ever had, because you had fights breaking out in exhibition games between USA and Canada on Saturday. But that's all any of these things comes down to. Do the players buy in? And if they don't, you're going to have a substandard product. It's that simple.
Chewy, is it as simple as civic pride? Is it as simple as, you know, God bless the USA and stars and stripes and bald eagles and stuff, and people get very into America or America, as you have heard them say, and anytime they're going against, I'm talking about the fans, I'm talking about, like, not necessarily the players, but like the fans getting into it and supporting the USA, you know, born and bred, and the people representing the good old red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I don't think Americans like the Canadians booing our national anthem when we're up there, and I think that was probably the reason for the fights right out of the gate. So there is that, adding that fuel to the fire. But the fan has definitely changed, and the game really hasn't. Now, football has, because I understand the players, and I would probably fall in under that umbrella today. They don't want to do anything, because it is a contact game, to risk the money that they have that's out there. But baseball hasn't changed. Basketball hasn't changed. Hockey really hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed are the fans. Like, growing up as a kid, Gabe, and Jen, the All-Star game on a Tuesday when I was like 7, 8, 9 years old was must-watch TV.
Yeah, the baseball All-Star game. Yep.
Same with the NBA All-Star game, with the three-point contest, and that was must. It's no longer must-watch TV. It's not so much the sport; it's the fans. Why don't the fans enjoy this anymore?
Oh, it's easy, because the players don't care, Chewy. The players don't care. Like, when you were growing up, Michael Jordan participated in the dunk contest. The stars came out for All-Star Weekend. And as entertaining as Mac McClung was winning his third straight dunk contest, he's a G League player. Like, okay, cool. You can do a bunch of dunks.
I mean, he probably shouldn't even qualify for the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah.
He's made more money, Chewy, winning three straight dunk contests than he has in his NBA career.
Yeah. But what about the game, though?
Oh, the players don't care about the game either. Like, when you put out a substandard product, and that's why the NFL changed you. After, and I, the point, I point to when Sean Taylor cleaned the clock of that punter. I don't even remember the punter's name. They ran the fake punt, and Sean Taylor came flying up and just absolutely annihilated him. And everyone went, wait a minute. This is an exhibition game. What are we doing? And then you just basically got, you know, offensive linemen standing up, putting an arm out to block people. And it wasn't, it's not a game. It's not, it's, nobody cares because nobody wants to get hurt. It's the same thing in the NBA. Like, a lot of those guys have $60 million contracts, right? And their teams want them to be available. So they just went through the motions in the All-Star game. It wasn't entertaining anymore. So they're searching for a format to get the players to buy in so they care. So there's at least a little bit of competitive nature in the game instead of just
so
an
exhibition.
So
money wrecked the game is what you're saying. Money wrecked everything.
I think it's more than that. I think what the NHL and the Four Nations captured was those were athletes going out there doing something that they felt was bigger than just themselves. The All-Star games in sports as largely have become about just the star alone. Like, people were honored to play in the Pro Bowl, were honored to play in the NBA All-Star game, and it's turned into them sort of just shooting the ball and throwing lobs and running back and forth, no one playing defense. The NHL was able to capture something that I don't think is really capturable by the other sports. I think the NBA could do a world of U.S. versus world thing.
You start filling out rosters, and it gets obvious why they can't very quickly.
Gets it lopsided quick. Yeah. Yes, exactly. But that's like the closest thing you could find to that, because Connor McDavid is the biggest star in the NHL, and he was put on his ass in the first couple minutes. Like, those guys were out there.
But also, like, USA versus the world, like, what are you doing? World pride?
Right. Like, exactly.
Yeah, but they found a format, Josh, where the players bought in.
Yes.
It all comes down to the players. And if the players care or they don't care, and if they care, it's going to be an entertaining product because it's the best athletes on the planet at what they do, giving a bleep about what's 100% about to happen.
And Gabe, what about what baseball did where they took the All-Star game and said, the winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage throughout the World Series?
Yeah, people hated that.
But why? I mean, that's incentive.
Yeah.
Because it only benefited one team, right? It only benefited the team that was in the World Series.
Yeah. But it kind of was funny because, you know, by the time you get to the ninth inning, a lot of times the reserves are playing. So, you know, a guy from the Royals could determine if the Yankees are playing Game 7 at Yankee Stadium or if they're going on the road to Dodger Stadium. And they ultimately decided that they didn't want to do that.
I also wonder if guys... I'm taking a pregnant pause here because I want us to prepare ourselves for this potential reality, okay?
Are you pregnant?
No, just because I said the word pregnant pause doesn't mean I'm a child.
He stopped listening.
Good
he didn't
grief.
Know you said pause. He heard the word pregnant and stopped listening.
Alarms are going off in his head. No, listen to this, though, guys. Is it possible that we are just not the target audience anymore for these All-Star festivities? Like, maybe it is because Chase, my 16-year-old, I watched most of this with him. He was super into it, and he's 16. But he is very much of that Instagram world, that TikTok world, that Snapchat world, that very consumable, bite-size media world. There's a part of me that thought, maybe I just have gotten too old to appreciate what this is.
So he was into last night?
Very.
Because I was into when they actually played. The problem is there were 80 minutes of commercials and 42 minutes of basketball.
Too much Kevin Hart.
Yeah, however much he was on the screen, it was more than the basketball that was played. It was basically a Kevin Hart variety show featuring NBA players.
I would say that there are going to be people interested regardless. I would think that the fact that the NFL and the NBA have tinkered with this for now better parts of a decade would indicate to us that they want us to be the audience. Because if they thought
they
it was
just
working,
want a larger audience.
Right. If they thought it was working, they wouldn't keep tinkering. So to me, they are happy that Chase and his friends are into it. But that's not what they're searching for.
How about Daytona? NFL, how much of Daytona did you guys watch?
I turned it on.
Hey, did we tell you what the temperature was here in Wisconsin this morning?
Yes.
That much.
I turned it on and it was in a rain break. And I said, well, that looks like my Daytona coverage for the year.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. Like, I flipped it on after golf was done.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, they're on lap six?
Huh.
Yeah, yep. I thought this would be the end of it. I'm good.
But I was even talking with my buddy about NASCAR, and they wrecked NASCAR, too.
How do they wreck NASCAR? I honestly don't know. I don't follow
it. It's kind of like the Tour de France now, where it's all teams, you know, and there's a handful of cars that don't have teams. Why do they have teams? I mean, the Daytona used to be so much better when everyone raced independently. I understand the money's huge and stuff like that, but it's...
I don't know
not
if we're...
Not a fan of the teams in, with race cars.
It's harder to find a conversation where I think we would all be more out of our depth than what happened to NASCAR.
Why are there teams in NASCAR?
Right.
That was good, whatever. Josh. Welcome back after
just to bring it local. Hiatus. Just to bring it local, Giannis did, off. We mentioned it earlier this morning, tweet after watching Mac McClung win the dunk contest because Ja Morant said that he might have to get into this. Mac might make me decide to dunk, to which Giannis replied, if you do it, I'll do it, sort of thing. And then I think there was another player who jumped in there as well. Look, there is a part.
Giannis did back off that, by the way.
He did. I didn't see that he backed off.
Yeah, he said his phone was hacked during his press conference yesterday.
He was joking, right?
Well, unless you believe that somebody... His explanation is somebody broke into his room, took his phone off the charger, left his room, obviously saw that tweet, tweeted it, then came back into his room and replaced his phone.
How are we not talking about this?
I've been doing that with the Blammer for years. You guys didn't know that? He'd go into the bathroom at Blammer hour, and I'd just scroll through his contacts and just hit one, not knowing who it was, and just text him that my hemorrhoids are killing me.
Oh, my goodness. You're such a good friend. And then
you really are.
I watched Dame Lillard, who did not do well in the three-point contest, was trying to three-peat in the three-point contest and just had an off evening. And the three-point contest, again, for what it is, I enjoyed watching it, right? It was fine. Didn't go nuts, didn't go crazy. It was fine. And that's kind of how I felt about everything that I watched this weekend for the NBA. It does feel like there is tinkering for tinkering's sake. But if they don't think the numbers are high enough, what else do you expect them to do? Like, what was your ideal All-Star weekend look like, Gabe?
So, again, I don't mind doing this. I think you've got to find a way to get more basketball and less, again, Mr. Beast. But, again, I understand I'm not the target for Mr. Beast doing his challenge between Game 1 and Game 2 of the All-Star game yesterday. So you can have all those different things. Like, you just need more basketball. It's the NBA All-Star game. And to, like, double up on the number of commercials versus the amount of actual basketball played, like, that's just embarrassing.
The answer is quite simple. People want to watch basketball and they want people to care.
Don't they want the stars though? Like LeBron didn't play.
Yeah,
Giannis didn't play. Now again, we have talked about this ad nauseum when it comes to the NBA. You also want those guys playing at the end of the regular season and into the postseason. We all were okay with Giannis missing the All-Star game, right? Because as Bucks fans, we want Giannis playing at the end of the year. We want Giannis on the floor when the Bucks are trying to make a run in the postseason. So we're okay with him sacrificing and dealing with the injury now to get healthy for the home stretch, right? Macro?
Yeah.
Or micro, rather? Macro, yes. If every superstar on every team takes the same mentality, you're going to get a subpar performance. You're going to get a subpar product at the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, ring culture and rings being the only thing that matter have also hurt all of this. Because if the first thing that you ever mention about any athlete is, well, how many championships did they win? And if that's the only thing that ever matters, then you have a regular season problem, you have an All-Star game problem. And every sport other than the NFL has this problem.
We liked the NBA Cup, though, right?
Yeah, but you want to know why? Players bought in.
They incentivized them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they obviously put together a nice little purse. You know, our guys, the Bucks, they were obviously, and Giannis was talking about how nice it would be to win that extra money during the season. And it showed on the court.
Yeah, because they put together a good product because the players bought in. And that's... As I watched last night, as I watched the NHL Four Nations face-off, this all comes down to the players. Like, Draymond Green wanted to get on a soapbox last night and complain. Dude, you're part of the problem. Your generation of players decided that this wasn't going to be important enough to put any effort into. So, going back to East versus West and having the game be 310-309, the people have spoken, man. You're an entertainment product. You got to buy in for people to care.
But money's not going to fix it, Gabe. Money's not going to fix it. If you said, hey, if you win, you get $200,000. If you lose, you get
one. Because the issue with the All-Star game versus the NBA Cup, like, a lot of the Giannis was talking, yes, the $500,000 was nice for him, but they were incentivized for a lot of their teammates. Like, man, $500,000 for somebody on the end of the bench who's, you know, on a two-way deal that's not making that kind of money, that's going to double their yearly amount of the, yeah. Like, they were incentivized for those guys. Like, hey, we want to win this for them so they can get this money. All the All-Stars have, you know, $25-plus million contracts, so an extra, you know, couple hundred thousand not necessarily going to really incentivize them to put on a good show.
Hmm. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff for us to get to this morning. I want to talk about the Packers' offensive line and why one of the Packers may have been one of the best offensive linemen that was faced by another player. Another player said that one of the Packers' offensive linemen was the best guy he faced on the line this past year. We'll get into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this works.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
That's not how any of this
works.
That's
how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We have talked a lot on this program about the positions, the units that the Green Bay Packers have to address this offseason. We have talked about an edge rusher. We have talked a little bit about cornerback, and certainly that depends on Jair Alexander's situation. If you missed any of that conversation, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast. We have talked about wide receiver. We may still talk about that this morning as the show goes on. We have not spent a whole lot of time talking about the offensive line, and yet I do think that if you were to rank these positions, it would probably be top five as far as the Packers' priorities this offseason. Inside of that offensive line and addressing it is Zach Tom. And I want you to take a listen to this quote from Will Anderson Jr. Will Anderson, who is a member of the Houston Texans and who was one of the best players, by the way, in his draft class. I remember covering him in college, and he was expected to have great success in the league. It's early, but here's what he had to say about the best offensive lineman he has faced in the NFL so far.
Probably, what's the dude from number 50? Tom from Green Bay.
Oh, Zach Tom.
Zach Tom. Yeah, he's legit.
What did he do to you?
He's like a quick setter. He punches really quick, and he has a really good step off the ball, like kick off the ball. He's good. He's more on the leaner side.
Yeah.
Quick feet, explosive hands, can get back really well. I would say he's up there. Besides LT, of going against LT every day, like, he's one of the guys.
LT is Tunsil. Zach Tom finished third in all-pro voting behind Penei Sewell and Lane Johnson. Chu, how much of a priority is it getting him all locked up? He's eligible for an extension this offseason.
I think it's huge. It's just, are they going to pay him the money? Because Penei Sewell just signed a deal for $28 million a year. And above him, Tristan Wirfs, who's here in Tampa, is just over 28. Lane Johnson is 20. So you're looking at paying Zach Tom 22? Are they going to do that?
Yes.
I mean, you got to do it kind of this year. You don't want him to get the free agency. I mean, he could always franchise him, but that's going to drive the number up. I don't know. Because Zach Tom's kind of been the Russell Wilson of the right tackles, right? He was a later pick, fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's made nothing, probably paying him very little. Now, you know, that cap space is going to get gobbled up a little bit by having to pay Zach Tom. And I think you got to pay him. I love him.
They will. And, yeah, Penei Sewell reset right tackles. But in terms of other right tackles, I mean, Jen mentioned Lane Johnson. He's at $20 million. Juwan Taylor, Kansas City, $20 million. Ryan Ramczyk, 19.2. So you're going to probably be in that neighborhood. I can't imagine he's going to get a Penei Sewell type of deal. So they'll figure it out. It's not going to happen to me until closer to training camp, probably, when all of the financials are settled and you can see how much you can front load the contract, how much you can give him this year, so it's not going to cost you that much more down the road.
Yeah, but it's still going to detract from free agency.
No, not that much. Not this year.
Isn't Zach Tom a win for Brian Gutekunst?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he going to be more likely to re-sign a guy like that to a big deal because it's proof of concept? Mm-hmm. I also wonder, though, if I just keep going back to baseball arbitration, and I keep going back to what we hear about when these conversations about the money come into play. Zach Tom didn't have a great game against the Eagles, and I wonder if when you're talking about, hey, we're going to pay this guy, we want to lock him up, I wonder if that comes into play. I wonder if it said, like, yeah, but didn't end the season all that strong. You know, he's really struggled against. Now, again, who didn't struggle against the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line, if we're being honest? But I just always wonder about, like, as we sit here and take the whole body of work, nobody questions that he has been fantastic at his position. I just wonder if it's one of those what have you done for me latelys, and they're able to point to wasn't your best work.
Well, I think another thing we learned is their backups are caca because they were terrible. When they went in for Josh Myers and Elgton Jenkins, based upon that game, I don't know if they can play in this
league. And that's why I have it so high on my priority list, too, because I think you're right. They have to address offensive line depth. But I like the guys they have out there as far as the starters go. And I think the last time I looked, you know how they do Pro Football Focus and they do Sharp Football and all those types of things? I think they were one of the top-ranked offensive lines in the league, maybe even top five by one of those metrics a few weeks ago.
Whether it's been Goody, whether it's been Ted Thompson, whether it's been Sherman, whether it's been Ron Wolf, all the general managers of my lifetime have always been able to find offensive line talent in the middle rounds. I guess I'm not that concerned about it. They're going to have, if they don't re-sign Josh Myers, they have five that they trust. If you can find a sixth, that's where a lot of teams live. If you have seven offensive linemen you absolutely trust, you are just like in gold in terms of NFL, like offensive line play. Most teams have six they can trust. Yeah. If you have a seventh, that's unbelievable.
I think it's going to be the least acrimonious extension ever.
Yep.
You've got a young star. He's played great. He played hurt. We have to remember he tore his pec at the beginning. Yeah. And then showed up and said, I probably shouldn't be out there, but I think I give my team the best advantage to win, which I think goes an extremely long way with his teammates and with the guys who are offering him that check. I believe he said he didn't think he had his best year, which is kind of funny because he was probably one of the better offensive linemen altogether. So he thinks he can play even better. Like, they're going to give him the deal. It's going to have a lot of money in it. It's going to be easy for them. And I don't think there's going to be much problem there.
So then what do you do with Rashid Walker, who you got to pay the following year, I believe? And that's a left tackle. That's not right tackle. That's left tackle money.
That's more of a
decision. I'm just saying you got to be careful, you know, going back to years where I'd say you can't pay everyone like an A player.
Why not? Philadelphia Eagles do.
Yeah.
Eagles have a top paid right tackle. They have a top paid quarterback.
They have a Vikings horn you gave us.
Top paid wide receiver. They've got a top paid defensive line. They've got top paid cornerbacks. They've got. I mean, you look up and down.
So you paid Rashid Walker.
I mean, I'm not. Am I going to pay Rashid? Am I going to pay Rashid Walker $20 million? Probably not.
Yeah, but $20 million might be like 10th when it comes to left tackles.
Right now, it's
a lot of work.
Right now, sixth.
Yeah, so Gabe did it for you.
Yeah, $20.5 million is the sixth highest paid left tackle.
This year?
Correct.
You're talking 2 years away.
Yeah.
So that number could be 23.
You just pay good players. This is easy to me. I don't understand what's going on here.
If Rashid Walker wants to get paid $23.5 million, see you later, pal.
Especially if, to follow up on Josh's point, you believe there is a sense of urgency for this team, especially if you think you are on the verge of being a top tier, top contender in the league. If you don't, then I see you don't, right? The whole pay good players, top dollar. Is that what you said? Something along those lines. You pay good players.
Period.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Ron Wolf school of football is you don't pay your offensive linemen. And it worked. So that's all I'm saying.
And the Philadelphia Eagles paid their right tackle, and that also worked.
Well, and their left tackle.
Yeah, and their left tackle.
And their left guard.
And their quarterback.
Ron is my guy.
I understand, Ron. Well, no, your guy. No. Your whole guy system went out the window when you wouldn't root for your guy in Andy Reid. I don't want to hear about your guy
fraud.
Yeah.
That's just stale.
You're That's a my stale. Guy fraud. Is that what you said?
Hey, hey, hey. Don't rain on my parade. Do not rain on my parade. I got great news. I'm in a good mood. Got a lot of things squared away with the first segment. It's been a glorious
Wait,
Monday.
Wait, good news? Like MRI good news?
Joshy?
We did get news in the text message that it seems there will be no surgery required for Chewy's elbow.
Hey!
But he said a cortisone shot would help. And Joshy, what's the first thing you texted me?
Soft question mark.
You want to hear what my wife texted me?
Oh, yes.
This is what my wife texted me. I'm not sure I can use words in here, but we'll give it a shot.
Oh, boy.
Get a cortisone shot here, or I will take your ass back next week to get one there. You need relief so you can lift weights and stop being the baby bitch.
Could he done without that last one?
Yep, yeah, he did so well, and then he got to the end and just couldn't. Yep,
that's my household right there.
Is she wrong though?
Well, I mean, good news would have been nice.
Oh yeah, but you were already scared of the good news because you knew that you were going to be called soft after you went hard to the hole against some Packer players at the end of the season, and now you're like, oh, boy.
I think he's just saying he could have used a little compliment sandwich there is all he's saying. He could have used
And he married the wrong person.
And I agree with Joshy 1,000% because I said last week I'm a little nervous of the Josh Myers effect where they're going to look at it and say, there ain't nothing wrong here, bro. But there is swelling, which can be very dangerous. So
very dangerous.
That's where we're at. Swelling can be very dangerous.
I will say this, Chew. I've got a couple cortisone shots in my left knee, the one I had surgery on all those years ago a few times. Yeah. And it's glorious. I have felt incredible relief from the cortisone shot. Now, when it wears off, that's not as great. Then I go back and get another one. You know, it's a new reality. But this is where you are, bud.
Do I fly back?
Can't you just get a cortisone shot there?
It's Florida.
Wait, you think you're going to die?
It is 0 degrees here. Like, as much as I'd love to see you, like, you would be miserable.
I know, but it's, I don't know if I trust the medical personnel in this said state.
To give you a simple cortisone shot?
Not with that attitude.
I mean, I'm afraid of needles.
That's true.
And cortisone shots are not fun, Jen. Don't say they are.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Because
did
they take the needle.
Did I say they were fun, or did I say that they work?
They work, but they hurt. They hurt.
This Mr. Afraid of Needles over here, this is...
I mean, the most accurate thing Joshy has ever said on this show now is soft, mark?
Soft.
Except you should have replaced it with a period.
Nah, exclamation point.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I have issues when it comes to...
Needles. Please.
You guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna. We've all had those moments walking through an expo center thinking, ooh, I'm kind of interested in that product, but I'm not sure. Let me check it out. Well, that's what we did. And I ended up getting an infrared sauna from Good Health Saunas. It sits in my basement. And I got to tell you guys, over the weekend, I used it many, many times. When it's cold out, I find myself wanting to use it even more. My sleep benefited so much. I slept like a baby both nights I used the sauna, and I can't help but think it's more than a coincidence. So if you are interested in improving your sleep or your skin tone and all of the detoxing benefits that Good Health Saunas offer, make sure you check out goodhealthsaunas.com. And there is a promo code for people who are friends of mine, loyal listeners included, goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen. You can find the sale that they are offering to people who listen to this ad and go to goodhealthsaunas.com to get their Good Health Sauna.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN. So get it on.
talked about here on Jen Gave Him Chewy, of course, is the receiver position. I'm not sure if you caught our Valentines that we sent out on social media on Friday, but we did send one to T. Higgins, and we did send a few to Devontae Adams. Very interested in their services, although you may balk at the price of at least one of those guys. So, a little bit of assistance out there on the internet. Gabe, you found an ESPN.com article that went and what aggregated all of the available wide receivers this offseason?
17 wide receivers that are going to be available. This from Bill Barnwell that he posted today. It's not an impressive list.
Really?
No.
What is the biggest takeaway from it? Just that it is overall, as a whole, not impressive?
Yeah, I mean, we can go through the 17. There's not going to be many on here that you're going to go, yeah, I could see him on the Packers.
Well, let's do it. Go ahead and start it off at the top. Give us a little NFL music, Joshy.
Okay, so the way Bill Barnwell broke this down, different categories. So these first two candidates who could be traded, so these guys are, you'd likely have to go trade for. Number one, Tyreek Hill. $26.5 million next year, 31 years old, 959 yards, 6 touchdowns last year. How do you feel about Tyreek Hill, who literally quit on his team?
Well,
in the fourth
and that's
quarter?
The thing. If you're going to be critical about Jaire Alexander in any way for some of the, you know, idiosyncrasies, I think you got to also be critical of Tyreek Hill.
I'm out.
Well, that was quick.
Yeah. Number two in that trade market, Deebo Samuel.
I'm out.
I'm also out.
Got Jaden Reed.
It's so funny that a few years ago when the Packers were facing the Niners, we were like, oh man, Deebo Samuel, what a Swiss Army knife, man. He is so dangerous and he's one of those impact players and all this stuff. And now life comes at you fast.
Yeah, injured, not as good. All right, we move on to the cut candidates. Number one, Devontae Adams.
I'm in.
All right, one of three so far. Cut candidate number two, Christian Kirk from the Jaguars.
I'm interested-ish. I could be talked into a coffee date.
In 2022, he had over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Since then, he has only played 20 games in the last two seasons after breaking his collarbone this last October. But he's only 28.
That's part of why I'm coffee dating. The youth.
Yeah.
There's some youth there. There's some potential there. I actually might be more high on Christian Kirk than most people are or many people are. I'm interested. I'm not buying, but I'm interested.
Cooper Kupp.
If the money's right, I'm in.
I'm out.
Yeah, you were out when we talked about Cooper Kupp. Remind me why.
Because he's always injured.
Old, injured, slow.
All of those things factor in.
All I can ever think of is that scene from Space Jam where the one guy's trying to make a case for why he should be on the team, and then the cartoon guys are like, and fat! He's like, slow and old and fat. All right, so we're not saying that he's fat. I'm just saying that's what it makes me think of. All right, so you're out on Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
All right, for solidarity's sake, I'll also be out on Cooper Kupp.
Tyler Lockett as a candidate who could be cut. 32 years old, 600 yards, 2 TDs last year.
That's a lot of tread on those tires.
No.
No, thank you.
Is it tread or wear?
There's a lot of wear on the tires. A lot of tread would be good.
Right.
If he's got tread, I don't think he's getting cut.
My brain was like, you've been to a tire shop before, Jen. You know how this works. Seen the little penny demonstration, haven't you? Okay, so a lot of wear on those tires. I'm out.
Okay.
This is confrontational. Goodness.
All right, we're now on to the guys we know will be free agents. Keenan Allen.
Out.
33 years old.
Yeah.
I'm also out.
Hollywood Brown.
Out.
How old is he?
28. Played 2 games this year with Kansas City. Signed a 1-year, $7 million contract last year, so he's 28 and could be really cheap.
Could be interested. Could cup of
all right, all right.
Coffee
that's
date.
A third. Okay.
I think what he fits, and I think also what the Packers are looking for, is field stretching. Without Christian Watson for at least 12 games of the season, getting that from somebody, I think, is going to be something they seek out.
If that's the one wide receiver they get, it's going to be disappointing, though.
Yeah, of course, but hey, we didn't see him play. He showed up in two games he played.
Yeah. Had 9 catches for 91 yards in those games.
It says the hope was he might be a downfield threat for the Chiefs, but he failed to catch any of the 5 deep targets thrown his direction, including a back shoulder possibility when he stepped out of bounds.
He
and
did
a deep
catch,
ball that hit him in the hands.
He did catch a deep play in the preseason, which then caused his shoulder to send him to the hospital. But,
oops. Brandon Cooks.
God, that guy's still playing.
He's only 31, Chew. He's not even the oldest guy here.
14 teams.
Traded. He's been traded for more first-round picks than just about anybody.
Hard out
on him as well.
Okay.
Amari Cooper.
No. He's done nothing since he's left Dallas, went to Cleveland, nothing. Traded him to Buffalo, nothing. No.
Aren't we also talking about speed? Haven't we wanted speed?
Not a burner.
I feel like he
doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs.
31.
Stephon is 31, yes.
When your team gets rid of you and they get better, I'm always concerned about that.
Yeah, and he's got a little bit of that diva mentality.
And
which, again, we recognize the role requires to some degree.
And he's coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
Slow.
Chris Godwin.
He is
29. In 7 games, had 576 yards. In 7 games, 50 catches.
Kicked the tires.
Coming off an injury?
Coffee date?
Dislocated his ankle.
Yeah. I mean, he's been great when he plays. It's just the playing part is his issue.
All right. But free agent, though. Like, hard and fast free agent. So he's going to get paid, right? Or maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, he's making 20. I don't see him making more than 20.
No.
There cannot be that many more on this list.
We got 5.
Jeez Louise.
Best of the rest. You'd have to trade for this one, Adam Thielen.
No.
Okay, keep going. How about we stop you when one intrigued us?
Mike Williams.
No.
DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
DeMarcus Robinson. Juju Smith-Schuster.
No.
All right, so of the 17... one that we're definitively interested in.
Devontae Adams.
And 3 that maybe we would take on a coffee date.
Well, that's a lot of coffee dates, actually. Calendar is getting quite full. Who were the 3 that we said coffee dates for?
Christian Kirk, Hollywood Brown, Chris Godwin.
Of those 3, I think the one I would most make a meal with. Wow. Have a meal with? I've already jumped to that stage.
You're inviting him over.
Letting him in your house.
Yeah.
And making a meal with. That sounds like a new...
Going to a joint cooking class for a first date?
It's Christian Kirk. I think that's the one I think I'm most interested in of those 3.
Again, all 3 of those come with injury questions.
Mm-hmm.
Not Godwin. Probably Godwin.
He's the most accomplished.
He dislocated his ankle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't really help with the vertical portion of it, but he... third downs... would be Chris Godwin time, which is a need.
Hey, look, I don't think we're going to find someone who's going to be able to check all the boxes we're looking for.
No.
So, you know, again, if I can cheaply get a third down guy that I know I can rely upon.
Yeah, I mean, he could have 75 catches with the Packers easy.
Oh, which one are you talking about?
Godwin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he had 50 catches in 7 games last year.
Yes.
Before he got hurt. Like, he's still somebody who can get up over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I still think Christian Kirk is a good player, guys. I think he's had at least one good season, big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got him paid.
But if he's your number one, I don't think he's a number one. He's more like a 2.
Yeah, so we're going to add another 2.
If you can't get Devontae or a Godwin, then you're going to have to draft.
You're probably going to have to draft
start looking
at some
at
point
the
anyway.
Draft. And then you sign one of the 3 more likely DNs.
Is Hollywood Brown a 1?
No,
he was never a 1.
No.
So is Devontae the only 1?
Yeah.
Chris, what's Godwin?
I mean Godwin's like
overshadowed by Evans.
Yeah, he's always been kind of that too because of Evans.
But is he a guy when you watch him, you're going, man, if he could get out of Mike Evans' shadow, he could be a 1 on another team.
3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. But now it's like he compliments Mike Evans pretty well. So,
and the injury he was dealing with, too, was a dislocated ankle.
Ankle? Yeah.
Yeah. Pesky.
It's kind of soft.
I don't think
glass houses and everything.
I don't
man.
Think you're Humble allowed boy. To weigh in.
Thought we already established
on
that
anyone's toughness level this morning.
Isn't my wife mean as a rattlesnake?
You need it though.
I know.
She's just giving you what you need.
Also, as I was out last week, 3 days, being sick as a man is the most unwinnable situation to ever be in because it's. Well, I deal with sicknesses. You're being dramatic about it. And it's like, I'm just sleeping. I'm not being dramatic about anything. I'm just trying to survive. I don't know what dramatic means. I sit here. I stick to myself. I try not to get you sick. It's a no-win because every time we're being soft.
You got accused of being dramatic this weekend?
Of course, every week? Time.
Really?
If I cough, oh, it's dramatic.
Yeah. Like, oh, my goodness.
What do you mean?
This is crazy.
Will you please just stop breathing?
I don't want sympathy. I'm just minding my own business.
I love that.
Turns
goes,
out when you're sick, guess what happens?
You cough.
I love that he goes, I'm just sleeping.
Apparently in a very dramatic fashion.
And it's no mention of last time I was sick when I did everything still and just trucked through. Sometimes more sicknesses, a sickness is worse.
Sometimes it knocks you on your ass.
Yeah. You got to do it.
Yeah, we're all battered, except for Jen.
I'm good.
I think men are generally battered.
We feel better being able to.
Okay, all right, whatever you got to say. Hey, I want to get to something I'm watching on the television up here. It's distracting me. It's pulling my attention away in the final segment of the show. So let me talk about Quintessa before we do that. From January 1st through March 31st, that's right now, Quintessa is offering a special package to help you start 2025 as the most confident version of yourself. Whether it's a wellness or a weight loss plan, Botox, skincare, or even IV therapy, Quintessa has personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. And I'm not just talking to the lady listeners out there. I'm talking to you gentlemen as well. There is no reason to continue in 2025 not feeling your absolute best when we are giving you the options and the solutions to get you there. Check it all out at myquintessa.com and make this the year that you feel confident inside and out.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
I just saw a list on ESPN's Get Up. And we only have about a minute here, but I want to rattle it off very quickly. Harry Douglas was giving his list of the top five players in the NFL who have something to prove. And Aaron Rodgers was number one, which he needs a team first. Then Jerry Jones, then Trevor Lawrence, then Sam Darnold. And number five on his list, guys, was Jordan Love. Jordan Love, number five on Harry Douglas's list of players who have something to prove in 2025. And I agree. And Gabe agrees, because I know Gabe, you've been saying for weeks, he's got to be better.
Yep. Yeah, he was good, but he needs to be better, especially in those big games. And when the reputation of the Packers in 2024 was, yeah, they're pretty good. They just didn't beat any of the teams that were better than them. You look directly at the numbers the quarterback put up in those games. Pretty easy to figure out why.
I just appreciate that the national media is also saying that. If it will light a fire under his you-know-what this offseason, and we're going to see another version of, another layer of, level of Jordan Love next season. Will Dientausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody. We will see you again tomorrow. We are still dealing with an accident in Racine County. This is on northbound 94.